afternoon to just very brief the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, because we had the good fortune to be there this morning. And it's a very refreshing pastime, actually. So just before the Rath Yatra takes place, Lord Chaitanya approaches the person in charge of the Jagannath Mandir and some of the superintendents of the king with a request. And he humbly asks their permission that he may wash the Gundicha temple, cleanse the Gundicha temple. So the gentlemen present to whom he is requesting, they tell Lord Chaitanya that it has been the standing order of the king that whatever you want at any time, it is our duty to facilitate. But actually, this particular work of cleaning the temple is not really suitable for yourself. Nevertheless, if you wish to clean the temple, we will make all arrangements. First thing you will need is you will need many, many brooms. And then you will need many pots to gather water. So the superintendent of the temple immediately ordered 100 brooms and 100 big clay pots to carry water in from Lake Indradyumna, where you've all been and bathed. So then Lord Chaitanya, the morning of the Gundicha cleansing, he called all his devotees together and he personally applied sandalwood pulp to each one of his devotees very, very lovingly. And then he gave each one a broom. In their hand a broom, and off they went. And he told them that now we are going to clean the temple. We're going to clean it so thoroughly that it's going to be absolutely perfectly clean when the Lord comes. So they went with their brooms and they started to sweep. And Lord Chaitanya also told them that you're sweeping and sweeping and sweeping. Outside you make a pile. I want to see your pile. I want to see how thoroughly you are working and how hard you are actually working at cleansing. So they all went there and they started to clean all the buildings, all the big buildings and the small buildings, sweeping, sweeping, sweeping all the dust and the dirt and the pieces of straw and the things that land from the street outside. Everything they were sweeping out of the Gundicha temple. They even swept the roof, the ceilings. They were sweeping all the ceilings. They were sweeping the throne where Lord Jagannath would sit and moving it and sweeping underneath everything. And they were really, really, really cleansing. Now, while they were cleaning, Lord Chaitanya was personally setting an example to teach everyone how to clean. So he made them respond to each other only by the process of chanting. So if somebody wished to have something handed to them, they had to say, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna. There was no talking going on, only chanting when people were indicating things. And Lord Chaitanya was cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, and his whole body became covered in dirt and dust and so forth, and he appeared even more beautiful. And sometimes, because of the deep love in his heart, his tears would be flowing, and he was cleaning with his own tears. After Lord Chaitanya had cleansed the whole area of the temple, he went outside and he started to sweep also outside. And what he would do is he would sweep and sweep and sweep until he had a little pile of dust and straw and so forth. Then he would pick it up very lovingly in his cloth and he would take it outside to a distant place and place it there. So the devotees watched him do this and they also did the same. They took their brooms and they swept and swept and then they picked up the dust in their cloth and took it outside. So Lord Chaitanya, remember, he had told them, I will see how hard you are working by how big your pile of dust and dirt is that you collect. And no matter how much all the devotees together collected, They all had their piles. Lord Chaitanya's pile was much higher than everybody else's. So when they had cleaned and cleaned and cleaned everywhere, then Lord Chaitanya told them, now we will do a second cleansing. This second cleansing is for all the finer particles. Just like if you see in a room, if you sweep, so you sweep the heavier things that stay on the ground and you sweep them out. But the finer particles will go up in the air and they come right back down again. So now Lord Chaitanya wanted them to continue their hard work by getting out all the fine dust and straw and the grains of sand. Then as soon as the second cleansing, the sweeping had been done, there were men ready with pots of water. So they formed like chains. And they stood, hundreds of men and hundreds of pots actually going backwards and forwards from Lake Indradyumna, full of water. And these men all had their pots ready. Everyone had pots ready to just throw the water everywhere. So when Lord Chaitanya gave them the go-ahead, they started to throw the water. And they threw the water everywhere. On the ground they were throwing water. On the walls they were throwing water. And Lord Chaitanya and everybody threw water on the ceiling. They washed the ceiling even. And that water that they threw up on the ceiling, it washed the walls and it also washed the floor. Then Lord Chaitanya himself washed the sitting place of Lord Jagannath. And he used his own cloth to wipe everything dry and to polish everything very nicely. Sometimes they would place water in Lord Chaitanya's hands, and sometimes water would go down to his feet, and secretly the devotees would sneak from behind and they would drink some of that water without being seen by him. Then after they had finished all the washing and washing, they opened the doors and all the water was flowing out into the courtyard looking like rivers. Then they mopped and polished. And after cleansing all of the gundicha, their minds had become as clean as the rooms. After cleaning, their minds had become as purified, cool and pleasing as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. So then to continue with this, the washing and the washing, some people they couldn't get to Indradyumna Lake because there's so many people taking water that they found wells nearby and they put their buckets down there, their pots down, and they got water and they continued to be throwing water and throwing water. And everyone continued to chant instead of to speak, indicating it was an indication for everyone who wanted anything. So then after that, Lord Chaitanya would go around and he would look at them, and some people he would chastise and say, he would look at their pile and he would say, you are not working very nicely, but never with any grudge. And some people who were working very hard, he would praise them and say, oh, you are working so nicely, this is so pleasing. And so then all the devotees who weren't working so hard, they would see the devotees who were working hard becoming praised, and they would start to sweep more vigorously as well, and they would increase their enthusiasm for cleaning. So when everything had been washed up and down everywhere, the whole place was clean, then one very, very simple Bengali Vaishnava, very simple person, he came in and he took a pot of water and he threw it on the Lord's lotus feet. And he started to drink it right before the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and inwardly he was satisfied with his simplicity. But externally he became angry. And he said, he called Swarup Damodar. He said, Swarup Damodar, look what your Bengali Vaishnava has done. He has embarrassed me like this. Now I don't know what my destination would be. Because he was bathing and he was bathing his feet and taking the water in the temple. So Lord Chaitanya was explaining, and Srila Prabhupada explains, that one should not offer one's obeisances even to their guru in front of the deities. So then Lord Chaitanya had all the men sit down in lines, one line there and the other line on the other side, and he sat in the middle. And he started looking at all the dust that had been collected. And he told the devotees that those who had collected less would have to pay a fine of some khajur, this Jagannath tongues, or other sweets that they would take as prasad. They would have to pay a fine to those who had swept more. And in this way they all laughed very lovingly together. So then Prabhupada, he says that this teaches one how to receive Krishna in a cleansed and purified heart. And this cleansing goes on by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. If we want to clean our heart, we have to chant and hear. And Krishna himself will do the cleaning because he is already seated there. So he explains that one must become cleansed of all material motives. There should be no external motive, because we will not be able to perceive the Lord's presence within our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. So this is a very interesting statement. Krishna is already there within our hearts. He's already with us. But how many times do we feel ourselves to be alone, or somehow or another in control of our own situation, or out of control of our own situation, but definitely not recognizing the presence of such a dear and intimate companion as Krishna is to the living entity. We don't perceive his presence within our heart. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he writes a very long purport on this particular verse. This, when it's describing that also, after they had cleaned inside, the dust came out, the dirt came out, the water poured out, and it poured out onto the roads as well. So everything came out, and everything was very clean. So he explains, he says, he talks about how modern material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. And when this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activities that we want the results of, then it overcomes the heart. And then the mirror of the heart becomes covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and or inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. So then he talks about how an elephant, if one doesn't clean one's heart, it's compared to how an elephant, he does some bathing, but then of course he comes back and he throws dust all over his body. He says, an elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as he comes out of the river, he immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over his body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his sufferings by performing auspicious activities. So here, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is telling us that if we have some sufferings in our life, which practically speaking we all have, we cannot counteract those sufferings by our own activities, trying to think, if I get this, I'll be happy. If I get that, if I do this, 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 and this, everything will work for me. He's saying, this is not the process of getting the dust off the mirror of the heart. He says, the sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by any material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness, becoming conscious of Krishna. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. This is the process of cleansing. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord is sitting there without any disturbance. Just imagine that. If our hearts were so cleansed as individuals, our heart was so clean, we could clearly see that Krishna is sitting within our heart without any interruption or disturbance. We could see that. We could know that. We could be confident of that and happy because we have Krishna with us. So then he says, to give a practical instruction, Lord Chaitanya cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments to clean. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. So we see here when the lady comes in and cleans the floor and it's all clean and nice, it's actually very purifying and cleansing. So this is what he wanted to see, that the temple was thoroughly cleansed. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. Again, a wonderful statement. This is what devotional service means. To become peaceful from all disturbances that now trouble our minds. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. So this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is comparing this cleansing of Gundicha with. So then, after everything had been cleansed very nicely, then what did Lord Chaitanya do? Can anyone guess? Everything was clean? No.
Chanting.
Yeah. He began a huge kirtan. Oh, actually before that, he cleaned the Nrisimhadev temple that we also visited as well. He very happily cleansed that temple proper. So there's a very nice Nrisimhadev temple.
Gorgeous.
And he says, well, they have a very nice Nrisimha Chaturdasi. Celebration takes place there. Either that or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur may have commented. So then he started to chant. And Lord Chaitanya started to dance in the center of all the devotees. And sometimes he would jump very high and Swarup Damodar would chant because he had a very, very loud voice. And sometimes he would begin to tremble. Sometimes he would be roaring as he was dancing. And all kinds of ecstatic symptoms would appear on the body of the Lord as he danced in Sankirtan with his devotees. Then after some time, he asked Advaita Acharya's young son Gopal to start to lead and dance. And Gopal stood up and he started to chant and dance in the midst of all the devotees, just a young boy. Then all of a sudden, Gopal, he became overwhelmed with ecstatic sentiments and he fell to the ground in a faint. And all the devotees came over to see how he was. But then they noticed that he wasn't actually breathing. And Advaita Acharya picked the young boy up on his lap and he began to cry and cry and cry, seeing that Gopal, it was as if Gopal had died. And all the devotees began to cry, looking at young Gopal. And then Lord Chaitanya came over and he looked at Gopal and he said, Gopal, stand up and dance! And Gopal immediately opened his eyes and he began dancing again. And all the devotees began to cheer and chant with great excitement and happiness. So after dancing and dancing and dancing and kirtan, then Lord Chaitanya brought all the devotees to a very nearby garden. And he had them all sit down in rows. And he had already arranged for so much Jagannath Mahaprasad to be brought. And he himself put all the plates, all the palm leaves for the devotees, and he began to serve all the devotees their Mahaprasad. And Lord Chaitanya didn't know the meaning of little. You know, we sometimes say, a little, 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 little. But he didn't know that word. So when Lord Chaitanya would serve the Mahaprasadam, he would serve Mahaprasad so sumptuously that he would serve piles of Mahaprasad to every person. And he would serve enough for two or three men to each one of the devotees. And he would feed them right up to their necks. So just imagine up to your neck. Your stomach is full. And all the way up, 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 up. And still he would be feeding them more. So he was very, very enthusiastic about distributing Jagannath Mahaprasad. So he sat all the devotees in the line and they had a forest picnic. And he was reminded, as he was feeding them, of how the cowherd boys would sit in Vrindavan and Krishna or Balaram and the other cowherd boys would have a picnic at Bandiravan and other places and they would enjoy sharing each other's lunch together. And the cowherd boys were so intimate with Krishna, they would open up their little packet from home and they would see something, some sweet, and they would take a bite. Oh, this is really nice. And then with the same hand, this is just we've all been told about our cleanliness standards. Well, the cowherd boys, they didn't honor anything like that. They would eat some of the sweet and they would hand it to Krishna and they'd say, this is really good, you try it. And Krishna would take it with great relish and he would try it and then he would take his and say, here, you have some of this. And the boys would hand to each other and to Krishna whatever they had from home. But this was done on the platform of complete, total loving exchange. It's not a worldly friendliness. It was transcendental even to such relations. So they would sit, and Lord Chaitanya knew exactly what each one of the devotees liked. And whatever they liked, he would arrange to have served to them. And he would pile all of their plates high in this way. Then all the devotees would put their hands like this over their plates, and they would refuse to eat anything. They would just sit there like that. And Lord Chaitanya would say, now you should take, and they wouldn't take. And then Swarup Damodar would say, my lord, no one is going to take unless you first take. Unless you take prasad and honor prasad, they will all sit there and refuse to take any prasadam. So then Swarup Damodar, he took Lord Chaitanya to a special place. And there some of his intimate associates served Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, just give me some lafra. Lafra means just a simple, like a mixed vegetable. And so he said, just give me something simple, simple, simple. That's all I will take. And Jagadananda Pandit came along. And we know Jagadananda, he's fiery. So if Lord Chaitanya doesn't cooperate with Jagadananda's desires to see to his well-being, then Jagadananda can become quite angry. So Jagadananda came with some first-class Jagannath Mahaprasad and placed it before Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, out of fear of Jagadananda, he took. And then Lord Chaitanya said, here, Swarup Damodar, and to Sarvabhauma, you try this, this is first class. And they began to give everybody. That's outside? Yeah. Different preparations. Then Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, they had a running kind of a rasa that they would engage in, where Advaita Acharya would start to criticize Lord Nityananda and say, look at this avadhut. No one knows what his background is. Nobody knows. He has no manners. He has no any good caste, good family, nothing. He's just here. And I'm sitting here, I am a perfectly respectable brahmana from a high class background, and I'm sitting next to him, and sometimes he throws his food, and he does so many outrageous things. What am I doing sitting here? I'll lose my caste. And Lord Nityananda turns to Advaita Acharya and says, and look at me, I'm sitting next to a monist, a Mayavadi, and I have to sit next to this Mayavadi, and I have to take, and oh, my bhakti will be ruined. And in this way they would exchange, and actually, indirectly, they would glorify each other. And the pastime, the relationship between Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda is so mysterious, actually, because Lord Nityananda is Balaram, the first manifestation of Krishna, and Mahavishnu is a part of a part of a part of Lord Balaram. So Mahavishnu, he and Lord Advaita Acharya is like part of Nityananda manifested in this personality and form. So it was like he was arguing with himself practically. So they would laugh and joke and they would criticize each other, and Lord Chaitanya would also engage in teasing and joking with the devotees. And then after they had all taken prasadam, they would all return to their residences and they would all prepare themselves for the following day, because the next day was the day that Lord Jagannath would appear again after his 2 weeks where he had not been on the altar. And after that, of course, the Rath Yatra would take place and Lord Jagannath would be brought in procession to sit at Gundicha for 7 days. So this pastime is very nice to hear the activities of Lord Chaitanya. It's also very illuminating. I always found there's quite a long purport, which I didn't read. I always found it kind of a little unnerving to read it, because it expresses a need or a demand for complete purity. And I think any of us know that complete purity seems to be a standard way above what we can imagine at this time. And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur is firm on this, that one should get rid of all these things, the cheating propensity, the subtle material desires, the gross material desires, because by getting rid of all of these things, when the heart is cleansed, the mind is cleansed, then, as he said, one can actually experience Krishna. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. So this is what Krishna consciousness is meant for. So the recommendation is there over and over again, both here and in our wherever we're coming from, that take your Krishna consciousness seriously. Take your hearing and chanting and do it nicely. And understand that material desires, whilst we all have them, are only more and more dust covering the mirror of the heart. So we should try in any way that we're inspired to do, to continue with this cleansing process, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. And by this process, Lord Chaitanya will become pleased with us, and His mercy will be there to help us, and by His mercy and His help, we'll be able to understand also the very, very intimate dealings of Krishna with His devotees in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we have two more days here in Jagannath Puri. We'll visit a few more places tomorrow, and then the last day I think we'll take some sort of a vote maybe, and see if there's any place that anyone would like to revisit, or depending on what everyone would like, we can individually go and visit places. So I think we'll have our Dhammadarastikam now very quickly, and then we'll take some.